It's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomanosi, President of the Common Sense Campaign and Adjunct Professor of Political Science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus. Malbus now with a state-of-the-art car wash. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Hello there, Lori. It's good to see you again. Hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day.
Yes, indeed.
And I hope those of you listening were able to remember why we have Memorial Day. I think it's important to remember. And I think that, you know, our area is very patriotic. And I know that we had all sorts of different memorials. I went to one at Virginia Street. Pete Rehm is the MC for that every year. And it's just a moving ceremony that I think all of us should try to find a place to go to do those sorts of things.
We attended one at the American Legion, Post 199, mm-hmm. and the Boy Scouts had an official flag retirement ceremony with a big fire burning flags that were retiring. It was very beautiful.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and I want to take a moment on this because the Sunday newspaper right before Memorial Day had an article by one of their columnists. The name will just go by the by. But she wrote that what she saw was that Memorial Day had just degenerated into the beach, beer, and barbecue. And I wrote to a Memorial Day message that really challenged that, because when you see all of the things that people do here and what they believe in and how they are able to articulate their remembrance for the fallen heroes, I think it is really a low blow to kind of just say to people, well, it's nothing more than beach, beer, and barbecue. I really disagreed with that, and I think that most of us have a much different view of Memorial Day, despite what certain, you know, writers want to think about. But that's the past, and once again, we have another week of craziness in terms of what's going on with the Biden folks. I want to talk about some of those things in terms of national issues. But before I do that, there was a major event that happened this past week. The fact of the matter was the Mobile MPO went ahead and decided to include the latest bridge project that ALDOT has laid before the Mobile MPO and what will be seen this coming Wednesday with the Eastern Shore MPO. Now, why is this important? It's important because unless both of the MPOs put this project on their transportation list, the TIP, then there's no bridge project. I want to develop that a little bit, okay? I also want to talk about some other state issues that are important. The fact that we now are in the election season, we need to think about some of these things, okay? I need to talk about what's going on with this critical race theory and how we're dealing with it and why we need to be dealing with it. And then I lastly want to talk about state issue of Common Core and give you all an update on what has taken place since last week. I do think that national issues are always important, but these state issues, and try to think with me for a second, state issues are issues that we can actually have some impact on. National issues are really at the whim of what's going on in D.C. And as you well know, the idiots are in charge in D.C. These Democrats are taking the country down a very dangerous road. And we have to really trust in our elected officials who go to D.C. to take care of these issues. We can't be running up to D.C. every 3 or 4 weeks or every week or every day, or get rooms up there in Washington, D.C., so that we can be on the scene to lobby our congressman. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. But This is where trust comes in, and where belief in who you have sent there makes a difference. And that's why I think someone like Jerry Carl is going to be trustworthy, and he'll do what we need him to do, which is to fight these people tooth and nail at every step of the way, and don't give in to it. So having said that, the reality is, though, on the state level, we're here. We can go to Montgomery. It's not easy, but we can do it. We've got local officials who we can talk to do the kinds of influencing that I hope that we're doing on this bridge business, okay? So having said all of that, the fact is that we as engaged citizens have a real opportunity, I think, to influence the course of policy here at the state and local levels. So if we don't take advantage of the fact of proximity and relationships, then shame on us. So having said that, let's talk about what's going on with the Mobile MPO and what is coming up with the Eastern Shore MPO on Wednesday, June 9th, when they have a meeting at 10 o'clock in the morning at the Daphne City Hall. If you're interested in making your comments known and your arguments made, be there. And here again, I agree, 10 o'clock in the morning is not the most conducive time. I got that. But somewhere along the line, if you can't make it, get someone who can make it to speak for you. That's the easiest thing to do. But here's what we can't do, is just, oh, well, ho-hum. No, ho-hum won't get it. Ho-hum is not going to get this bridge built. And I think the argument we're making here is that there is a need. There's been a need for it for many, many years. But they keep kicking the can down the road. Then they finally come up with a plan 2 years ago, which, as you remember, involved a $6 toll. That was a killer. That's what killed the plan. So what we're hoping for this time, and I say, fingers crossed, hope, that ALDOT, Director Cooper, has learned some lessons about this. But the only way that we can be assured of that is for him to hear from us. And I can tell you that Kevin Spriggs and I have met with Director Cooper. We've met with his assistant down here, Matt Erickson. We've spent time trying to give them ideas about where we think they should be going. But we can't operate in a vacuum. And so we need public comments about where this whole process should be going. So please take some time to do that. I think it certainly is critical at this point because, like I said, the need is there. But there's an additional problem here, folks. The Bayway is on the last 15 years of its life. That's about what we have. So for 20 years, everybody fooled around, never came up with a plan to sort out the problems with the tunnel and the traffic congestions and, you know, the accidents and all the rest of it. Now, we're not at a crisis with the Bayway's lifespan, but guess what? You have already seen a major crisis in Birmingham with the overpass that they had to fix because it was falling apart. Okay? That's what we can't have here. And we can't have it for a number of reasons, but one really good reason, all those people that get to Gulf Shores and Orange Beach that brings in about $2 billion a year, if they can't get to the beach, what happens to all those beach businesses? What happens to the taxes that go to Montgomery, which is about a third of the Montgomery budget? Okay, you don't have to have me draw the picture here. So what I'm suggesting to you here is that while we have the opportunity, take advantage of what seems to be a much more reasonable approach to how to deal with the problem. And we'll see how this goes. That's all we can do. Well, the Mobile MPO met last week, and Kevin Spriggs and I both had a chance to speak, all right? We divided things up to where I offered about four different issues that I thought were important, and he offered about three or four that were important that is a consensus within our group, the Common Sense Campaign. I talked about the aging of the bridge, which I've just talked about. I talked about our concerns about the safety of restriping, going from a trying to fit three lanes into an essential two-lane, you know, highway. And if you add fog into it, I mean, can you imagine how bad that's going to be? I think that I also mentioned that I think that cars have to be included in any kind of a bridge project that's coming. It makes no sense to have some sort of a bridge that's for trucks only. I mean, no matter where, I'm coming from the east or the west, if I need to get somewhere and I can't take the bridge because it's trucks only, that's absurd. It's a mind shot. And so my point to them was, let's make sure that it's all for anyone who wants to use it. If we have to have a toll, that's another issue. The other thing that I said that I think was important was that ALDOT has to have learned its lessons about this. There has to be transparency, there has to be accountability, but there also has to be a willingness to work with the Eastern Shore MPO and the Mobile MPO. There are good people there in those both of those organizations who can assist ALDOT in coming up with a good plan. Excuse me. But last time, it was my way or the highway. And all I can say is, if they go down that road again, the same result's going to happen. The same result. But, you know, this time, we can't have that happen. Because of the problems in the aging of the Bayway, we either get it done now or it's just going to be a crisis. And if it's a crisis, well, you know what happens with crises. You know, it gets to be done in a half, I won't say the bad word that I want to say because Lori will get mad, but it's a half-baked approach. We can't have that, okay? So those are the things that I talked about. Kevin spoke about the state has to put more money into the project. Well, that's true. They're putting $250 million in, but we're arguing that they need to do more, and we think we have a way to do that. I'm not going to talk about it right now. I want to see how this develops, and I'll talk more about it. But unbeknownst to us, Alabama has one of the highest bond ratings in the nation, ranked number 7, according to State Senator Greg Albritton. My argument here is that we should be able to use that high bond rating to get some money on a loan and pay that debt off in 20 years' time and include, you know, that by doing that, we may very well be able to exclude a toll. We have to see. Kevin pointed out that all three phases of the project excuse me again, basically may very well, you know, have to be done in one fell swoop. We need to pay for all three phases of the project. That only makes sense. You can't have this thing halfway done and then decide, well, we ran out of money. No. Fund it up front totally and get that done. One of the things Kevin talked about was working with the feds to get more federal money. Again, you keep hearing how Biden has an infrastructure plan, close to $2 trillion and probably even more in a little while. The fact of the matter is that with something like that, you would think we would have a big, really good chance to get something, except they're only looking at 6% of traditional infrastructure to be used. Now think about this. How in the world can you spend at least $1.9 trillion is what the number is right now. How can you only spend 6% of that on traditional infrastructure? I mean, that's something that the politicians are going to have to sort out. But the reality is the feds need to do more. And I think that when you take a look at the concerns that we've expressed, and I'll add one more concern, because I think that the trucking company made a good point. Is it fair for only the truckers to be hammered with a $15 toll? And I think that they make a good case for that, number one. And number two, the reality is that whatever tolls they have to pay, it's going to end up trickling down to the consumer. And as long as that's the case, it makes more sense to just go ahead and figure out a way to pay for this without tolls.
I'm going to say you're listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi here on WABF to give you time to take your sip of water.
Well, the astute Laurie was right on the mark. I took my sip of water. Okay, so here we are then. It just seems to me that these kinds of concerns have got to be factored in at some point, and I do think that they will be factored in. And again, you'll have an opportunity to raise your own concerns this coming Wednesday, 9 June, 10 o'clock in the morning at the Daphne City Hall. So let's take a look at that. All right. Well, you heard old Governor Ivey talking about all of the good things she's done. She's using the high stepper again. This is something that I think she said a few years ago, and Sean Sullivan coined it on his introductory song when his show starts. Nothing like a high stepper, because high steppers step high. All right, fine. Let's see. How high stepping have we seen Alabama in edumacation? Well, we're ranked 52 on the national assessment tests, okay, in math, 48th in reading. Now, we have been telling you that we're trying to get rid of Common Core. And we are. And the reason we're trying to get rid of it is for a whole lot. Well, there are a whole lot of reasons. But principally because Common Core has been allowed to be, it's an experiment that has just messed up our children for the last 10 years. So I'm not going to go through the whole spiel about why we have to get rid of Common Core. But isn't it just a bit of irony to have Governor Ivey talking about how wonderful Alabama education is on her campaign ad? I just don't understand how anyone could possibly have let her say that, except I can understand it, because we just had another meeting with her staff and Superintendent Mackey and her education guru by the name of, you know, Nick Moore, had the audacity to tell our people once again that the math course of study was rewritten by Alabama teachers, and therefore our standards are Alabama, not Common Core. The only problem with that is that the comparative analysis that Eagle Forum did and that other researchers have done conclusively show it's all the same thing. It's all Common Core. So all I can tell you is that there's that kind of thinking that's that close to the governor. It tells you something. And it tells you that we have an uphill climb to get her to be the fifth vote to get rid of Common Core. Now, can we pull her to be the fifth? Let's put it this way. The argument that she should be listening to is that she has a problem with conservatives in the state. How do I know that? Well, take a look at Amendment 1, where she tried to take away our right to vote for the school board. Duh. How about the gas tax? Duh. How about the bridge project? Do I need another duh? How about Common Core? That's the fourth duh right there. I don't have to work too hard to come up with four duhs that basically says to Ivy, gee, maybe I do have a problem. Of course, she doesn't have a problem because the polls are high, according to some people. Polls, schmoles. The reality is she has work to do if she wants to win election. And I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of disaffected Republicans who are willing to say no to her, not just on the four reasons I've given you, but there are other reasons too. And if there is a Republican candidate who will fight her for the nomination, I hope we find him. But if we don't, well, I won't go there yet. But I can tell you, the choice is maybe don't vote at all, or vote for an attractive Democrat, if there is such an animal in today's world. I don't know. But you never know about these things. I can tell you something. After what I've just told you about the reasons why I think she needs to think twice about what she's doing in terms of reaching out to the conservative base, I will not vote for her, okay? I might not vote for a Democrat, but I will not vote for her if that's the only choice I have. So there you have that. Here's another major issue that we're confronting her with right now. Notice that maybe you can hear what I'm saying. Lori, did you hear that?
Yes,
I'm knocking
I do.
I'm knocking on the wood, folks.
Beating on the countertop.
You've heard me talk about critical race theory. I'm not going to go through the whole spiel again. But the reality is, it's already here. We understand that State Board of Education member Tracy West was getting calls from up in the Auburn area from complaining parents about critical race theory in their schools. She calls Superintendent Mackey. Superintendent Mackey told her, I'm going to the governor. Really? Wow. Why don't you go, Superintendent Mackey, just send a memo out to all the superintendents. Hey, guys, it's not in the course of study. Don't use it. Wouldn't that be nice? A little bit of leadership. Well, that ain't going to happen. But Eagle Forum is working on a resolution for the governor, which will be an executive order saying no to critical race theory. We'll see how all this goes. But the argument here is other states, Texas, Florida, Georgia, have all come out against critical race theory for obvious reasons. It's racist. Okay? It's racist. How do you expect to have racial harmony by singling out one race? And singling it out after, I would suggest, as I've already put out in a video that I made, that excuse me, that here you have a social and political revolution, which I've talked to you all about before, which is real, and where you've got 17% of all. So with that sort of high percentage of interracial marriages, how can you say that we're all racist? I mean, I understand there are still racists in the country. I got that. But racism crosses racial lines. It's not resident just in one racial group, okay? So we've got this issue about critical race theory, which we have got to sort out. And I really believe that if we don't sort this out, we're going to find major problems in what is going on, you know, in our education. Listen, it's bad enough that we have the ratings that we do, and hopefully we're going to take care of moving on this, you know. So, you know, I did want to talk a little bit more about critical race theory, but I'm running out of time. So let me just close by saying that I'll keep you abreast of where we are with this. We're expecting to have another meeting with our team, and hopefully this time Terry Lathan will have the governor at the meeting, and we'll see where we're going, both on the issues, because we will bring up critical race theory as well as bringing up getting rid of Common Core math, leading to getting rid of the rest of Common Core. So that's where we are with state issues for right now. Let me now just turn to some of the issues that we've had to deal with at the national level. I'm not sure what's the most important issue, because there are so many problems that we've already seen from this Biden administration. And I've talked to them about you before. No, I haven't talked to them about you before. How about I've talked to you about them before? So it's Monday. Got to take a pass on it. But here's the problems we have in terms of trying to getting our hands around or our mind around what they are doing makes it difficult to prioritize what we want to talk about. You know, on the one hand, international issues do drive the train because they are so dangerous. So let me go ahead and talk about some of them first. Number one, you have the situation with Israel, and I've tried to make the point to you that Israel is a beleaguered country, one of our best allies, a critical ally in the Middle East. Okay? They are the target of the Iranians, and if the Iranians ever got the bomb, I have no doubt that they would risk everything to use a nuclear weapon against the Israelis to wipe out the Jewish state. That's how much hatred is there. So my question to Biden is, why are you trying to make nice with the Iranians? Why are you moving away from the Trump policy of isolating them, of putting economic sanctions on them, on doing everything we can to make life miserable for them so that they are hampered in going forward with doing the kinds of things that they want to do, such as, you know, giving, you know, missiles and rockets to Hamas and Hezbollah? Why would we not keep our foot on the gas pedal to make things that much harder, to dry up their sources of money? I don't understand it. I do understand it in a way. And that's because there's a mindset up there within the Democratic Party that has always been soft on these kinds of issues. Okay? Think about it. And if you're soft on this, if you're not willing to take the hard line that's necessary to deter your enemies, what are we going to do? Are we just going to allow the Iranians to send more missiles, more rockets to undermine what's going on in the Middle East? They want hegemony. They want to rule that area. And Biden is facilitating that now. The second thing I want to talk about is not necessarily on an international level, but this whole thing with Dr. Fauci, and it is international in a way. Fauci's emails have let us look into the inner sanctum. The degree to which the whole question of where this pandemic started from was downplayed by people who had a vested interest in making sure that no one took off with a legitimate claim that it made no sense other than to look at the Wuhan virus lab as the starting place for the pandemic. Fauci had spent money, putting money, NIH money, into that lab in Wuhan, looking to somehow continue the very real research that could lead to a very dangerous coronavirus being found. The fact of the matter is that from a geopolitical standpoint, and this is the international part of this, Trump had challenged the Chinese. Trump had put tariffs on the Chinese. Trump had called them out on issues, not just about taking intellectual properties for the United States, but questions about what they were doing to the Uyghurs, you know, the Muslims in their country, putting them in concentration camps, human rights violations against democracy in Hong Kong, challenging China with tariffs, which hurt them. Trump's argument was the Chinese need our market more than we need China. Trump was a threat to the Chinese. Trump was also a threat to the Democrats, because suddenly a roaring economy was going to propel Trump to an easy victory. I would argue he had an easy victory as it was. It was stolen, okay? Don't let them tell you it wasn't stolen. It was, okay? But the geopolitical worldwide impact here is quite simple. You had the interests of the Chinese meeting with the interests of the Democrats. You had all of the impetus moving in the direction of getting rid of Trump on the basis of the pandemic. And that's the end of the story. And so, what's now coming out is the reality that the Wuhan lab, whether it was accidental or deliberate, remains to be seen. Okay? I've said this to you before. You had Chinese military strategists talking in the late 90s about using bioweapons. So they may very well have used a bioweapon. But whether it's deliberate or accidental, it happened on the Chinese watch. They did it. And everything that went on afterwards was all about getting rid of Trump. And look what's happened. China is moving along, doing whatever it wants to do against Hong Kong, against Taiwan. They want Taiwan, and they will get it if you have a president like Biden who has compromised there. So there you have it, folks. I mean, in wrapping this up, I hate to end on a note like that, but the reality is we are in dangerous waters with the Biden presidency and these people surrounding him. And all I can say is you need to stay engaged. You need to write to Jerry Carl, to Shelby, and to Tuberville, and tell them to fight these people as best they can. And on that note, Lori, I'm almost out of time, or am I out of time? I'm right on time.
3.5 minutes over.
Oh, no.
I was generous this morning.
All right. You all take care. God bless. See you next week. Bye.
Thank you, Dr. Lou. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomanosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne, and in Malbus, the station with the state-of-the-art car wash. You can also listen to this program later on WABF1480.com.